Herkules. Digitalizacija nasljeđa i identiteta srpske dijaspore.
So you guys were you were born in the United States. You came when you were
2 years old.
Yes. Okay. And how was it growing up in the States? In terms of relationship within your family and with your peers and teachers, when it comes to languages, how did you feel? What was your first language, Elena?
Well, I guess it depends on how you classify it. I started speaking words in Serbian first.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in my life, I like think in English.
Yeah.
For as long as I can remember myself as a human, English is definitely my primary language. Growing up, I mean, I spoke Serbian, of course, to my parents and any other adults in the room. Serbian adults in the room, you always spoke to them in Serbian. But then, like, with their kids, as long as they were
your cousins,
my friends,
your parents' friends,
yeah, everybody that is like more my age, you speak to in English.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that we all know Serbian, we just automatically default to English. In terms of growing up and like being in school, I did find it so fascinating and like something that I could never quite comprehend because the people that I went to school with were just like primarily all Americans. You didn't really have a lot of, other than like some Polish people here and there.
But not much diversity, right?
Not much diversity here. I found it very fascinating that more people didn't speak multiple languages. And I didn't understand like what these people did in the summertime. Like, oh, you don't just like go to Serbia or like go back to your native country. Like that kind of stuff was always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
More like growing up, like, how is it that I have this special skill and why is it that this is the case?
But
for me, but not for everyone else.
It was something that you felt good about?
Yeah, cool. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Eddie?
So I grew up in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
which is like a completely different setting than here in Chicago in the U.S. And so like while you might not have had as much diversity, you still had some diversity, where as opposed to like where I grew up, I didn't. It was very black and white. Like if you were brown, you were Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't like Colombian, something else. You were automatically just Mexican if you were, you know, you're black or you're white. And so like, but I never really like sat there and paid attention to like the fact that I could speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that I knew I could do, but it's mostly just I did it at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same situation with Yana, like, spoke to, you know, adults in Spanish, my mom and dad and everyone else. But when it came to, like, my cousins or people, like, my age, like, we always just defaulted to English. Like, English was just our language.
Mm-hmm. And your parents' attitudes towards your language behavior in the two communities, were there, like, complaints, like, switching to Spanish or Serbian when talking to your cousins or your brothers and sisters?
I know for me, like, my mom would make it a thing to tell us, like, speak in Spanish. Like, at home, we speak in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Even now?
I mean, now, not as much, because I'm not home as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, like, if, like,
well,
even grow
on the phone, you speak in Spanish.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, no, yeah. I talk in Spanish.
On the phone, yeah.
But, like, growing up, I remember you would say something, and, like, you would struggle with a word, or you would just say it in English.
Yeah.
And my mom would be like, no.
Okay.
And she would tell us the word.
Mm-hmm.
So, because to her, it was just, like, so that we wouldn't forget the language.
Mm-hmm. And here, Yelena?
For me, I guess it was kind of more of, like, a sign of respect that, like, you speak to adults whose primary language is Serbian in Serbian. But I do remember, like, to not use names, one of our friends' parents, who we did speak about earlier today, he was very strict. He would walk into the room and see us speaking English. He'd be like, you have to speak Serbian.
Ah,
and then we would, like, do it for a little bit until he like closed the door. Then, you know, do you know who I'm talking about? So it was never like that. It was really more just like a respect thing. Like, hi, Teta, Chica, whatever. Speak to them in Serbian. And then, and that's something that I do even to this day. I don't, my mom doesn't necessarily correct me like your mom did until like give me the word unless I ask for it. But at this point, like, I don't notice it when I insert English words in my own, like, speech, but I do notice it. I have, like, one of my best friends, she would probably be a really good candidate for this. She was born in Croatia and then came here when she was like 6 or 7 maybe, and her Serbian is terrible. And like, I don't know how this happened, because her parents don't speak English very well
and
at all.
She actually started speaking a variety of Serbian
mixed with English. And so like, I will like notice it when she, I notice it when she does it, when she inserts English words, and it really bothers me a lot. And I correct her. I'd be like, oh my God.
What's the
like,
language that you guys use when you speak to her?
English. Always English.
Well, because for us, there's also like Spanglish. Spanglish is very much a thing, especially like in like Texas and those southern like border states, because that is kind of like their culture and how they just kind of mix English and Spanish, and it's kind of been a thing now. And like, but we would do it just at a convenience, and I think that's what my mom didn't like. But also, I viewed English too kind of as a chore, because my parents would have us translate for them when we were little. And so then I hated that. So when my parents had 4 kids, I was the oldest boy. I had an older sister and then myself, and we're like 2.5, 3 years apart. So she would be the default person, but then whenever it wasn't her, like, I would be me. And then when I got old enough, then I was a default person. But yeah, like, I had to translate at the bank, I remember, from my mom or my dad and whatever information. Like, you know, I was like 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And like, while my Spanish was like, you know, I understood Spanish and like I could speak English, like, in that setting, it was just very, like, I remember it's just a stressful setting.
Well,
and like,
yeah, how do you translate like the word account? Or the word, like, debt. Or, you know, like, it's more technical than... I don't have vocabulary for that, too. My parents will ask me health-related questions. I don't have the vocabulary for that. Though I am a pharmacist, I don't have, like, very technical vocabulary. It's just, like, day-to-day.
Yeah, which is normal because your schooling was all in English in both cases.
And that's something, actually, I talked to one of our friends who's he's an engineer now. He's a mechanical engineer. But because he was saying, like, he's also, his Spanish actually pretty bad, but he was born here in the U.S. He grew up in the U.S. with his cousins. He had lots of cousins, but same situation. Like, their Spanish is always just, I would say, pretty bad. But, and on his job, he said he recently had to change from being fluent in Spanish to just conversational, because he went to Mexico to do work, and they were talking to him and, you know, in technical terms, like what his job entails. He's like, he's like, I realized, like, I don't know these words. Like, I can talk to you in Spanish all day long, but when it came to my job,
I
only know my job in English.
In English, in Spanish or in Serbian.
Yeah.
And what was your attitude towards your parents, for instance? Have you ever corrected their English? Did you have any, like...
met my dad? I literally, 10 minutes ago, sat with him. I said, how do you feel knowing that these two women from Serbia have better English than you and you live in the U.S.?
You're mean.
And he goes... They're professors, not just high school professors, university professors. Of course they do. I'm like, no, your English is terrible. And I guess a little, like, not embarrassed, but a little embarrassed about it, because there's a certain, like, because I grew up in the U.S. and had, especially, like, in school, so many American friends, and it's like, hey, you have to come to my house. My dad doesn't really know what you're saying. Like, he does, but he doesn't. It's, like, awkward, and he has a thick accent, and it's just like, okay, I don't want to do this. I don't want to bring people here, you know?
Is that how it was? You were actually reluctant to bring people to your house?
We had weird food, everything was just weird and different too.
Like, for me, I didn't realize I was different until I went to someone else's house and realized, like, oh, like, that's how you guys live.
Uh-huh.
But, like, same situation. Like, there's often, like, I can remember all the time just thinking, like, man, I really wish my dad spoke better English. Or, like, I wish my mom's English was a little bit better.
Okay.
And, like, even as a kid, like, I remember telling myself that. And it wasn't anything, like, bad or, I don't know. Especially my mom. Like, my mom is very friendly. That's, like, I always said that's where I got my conversation piece, because I feel like I can talk to anybody, but that was my mom. My mom can talk to anyone, no matter the language. You know, and that's what I like about her. At the same time, though, I just wish she could was better at English. And even, like, now I've caught myself telling Yelena, like, throughout the years, like, I feel like her English has gotten worse.
Because she's not using it as much.
Probably not, yeah. Because she's probably stopped working, or...
She still works, but she doesn't, like... She only has one... My brother's at home. And that's it.
Okay.
Where opposed to she had all of us. Yeah. And she would constantly go into, like, a softball tournament or a wrestling tournament. Something, always interacting, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because she works with mostly Spanish-speaking... Yeah.
So I think that was the other part. She works at a factory. And so she used to work with a lot of older... white women, American women. And now I think all those ladies have retired now, and who's taking those jobs are, like, Hispanic immigrants, which is very interesting. I never thought about that. But, yeah, that's because my mom would know, like, that's how she found American culture.
Yeah.
Through her coworkers.
I will say the same thing kind of happened with my parents, too. Like, my dad works with all Serbian people, and that's why his English isn't as... He probably goes days without speaking English or hearing English, you know, because he watches Serbian TV and listens to Serbian, you know, like, he's still very immersed in that. Whereas my mom has...
She worked with the Americans.
Yeah, like...
She still does.
Yeah, outside of, you know, what she...
In the community.
Outside of when she worked at the same company as my dad, she's very much, like, integrating. And, like, even when we had stuff... Oh, yeah, in terms of attitude. Like, if there was, like, parent-teacher conferences, it's like, oh, I want my mom to go because she's more involved, better at English. Like, if my dad had to go even, like, to the doctor's office or something with us, it was like, I don't trust you to do a good job of, like, whatever it is that adults do for their kids. You know what I mean?
Is that where your parental figure comes from?
Yeah, my mom is the number one.
Well, no, because you do that to me.
She doesn't trust you.
She doesn't trust me to do something, and I'm like, I don't understand. Like, what are you talking about? So it comes from Hudson.
Yeah, because, like, unreliable, because of lack of understanding and lack of, like, mastery.
Have you, or are you still maybe correcting them every once in a while, your parents, when they speak English? Or not really?
Gosh, we're so mean. My mom is good, but my dad, we used to really make fun of him a lot.
You kind of still do.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you a story. God, this is so mean. So he used to have a voicemail on his cell phone when you called him. It'd say, hi, this is... The arson. Please leave the message, and I call you back, in his thick Serbian accent. And, of course, that's so grammatically incorrect. But you would tell him, but he never changed it.
Because he doesn't care. Because
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And so we would, like, make it a point, like, especially by the time I got to college, I would, like, tell this story. We'd be drinking. Like, you gotta hear this. And call him at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning to just listen to his voice.
That is mean.
You know, so mean. So mean.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what teenage children do to their parents.
He's still to this day is in my phone as the arson.
Uh-huh.
Because of that. But he does
does stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. But you both mentioned that it depends on the working environment. So do you feel that it's possible to live in the United States without ever learning English properly?
Yeah, I have an aunt. She has her citizenship through my uncle and everything. She's been here, I don't know, more than half her life.
Tia?
No, the bigger, the one that you don't like.
Oh yeah, I don't like her. She's mean.
She's a mean person. She's evil all over. But she's been here more than half her life to the point where she should be able to speak somewhat English. She's not even at that level. Mm-hmm. It's so bad. So she also can't drive, but that's the side story.
Do you feel
interested?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she shows interest in it. Mm-hmm. She has three kids, starting from my age below, and it seems like we're just completely different individuals, and mm-hmm. we grew up with different values and stuff like that. Where, mm-hmm. we wanted to leave our the nest, the house. They are still at home, and oh. The oldest is my age, which is 31.
Wow.
So it's just one of those where it's
that's very unusual.
So yeah, extremely unusual.
So she's actually maintaining the culture,
kind of,
as well as everything, the traditions, the customs, the family setup, through mm-hmm. maintaining the language or sticking to the language. That how you would? Or maybe not. Maybe it's just her personality. Maybe.
I think I'm gonna say it's laziness. It's just laziness, not really wanting to put in the effort mm-hmm. of assimilating to someone else. It's just because. And luckily she's had the benefit that she was in Chicago uh-huh. and she has that ability where she can thrive mm-hmm. without having to assimilate and really learn the language. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like if she did it somewhere in South Dakota, for example, impossible. She would have been forced to learn some basic level.
I was also going to comment on that too. I think it's super prevalent in the Spanish-speaking community, mm-hmm. but you've got plenty of Koreans who live in the cities, in LA or in New York, in Chicago, where you're able to maintain just your language, and you shop at the Korean supermarket, and you live in Koreatown, or same thing here too. You shop at the Polish stores, and you only speak Polish. There's lots of people that do that. When I was
Middle Eastern,
and that, because there's probably the new technologies assist, because you can watch Korean TV, listen mm-hmm. to Korean, mm-hmm. you look it up, look Korean up on the internet. So
you can change the language on your phone, be whatever language you want it to be.
Interesting. So I'm a pharmacist. I used to work for Walgreens in your traditional pharmacy setup. You've got customers, whatever. My pharmacy was in a very predominantly Spanish-speaking neighborhood, but we also had a lot of Polish people. Mm-hmm. We're next to a senior center, mm-hmm. and so we would have a lot of the seniors coming in for their meds. And it was in the Ukrainian Village neighborhood, so lots of Ukrainian people as well. And it was so interesting to me. I definitely noticed the older people. It didn't matter when they came here. They were not conversational in English. But I met one woman in particular. I happened to be there that day without any of my native Spanish-speaking texts. So I spoke to her in Spanish, in my broken Spanish. And we were talking, and she was like, wow, that's so cool that you can speak Spanish and English. And I'm like, yeah, I learned in school. Didn't you learn languages in school? Mm-hmm. go to school. And she was like, no, she's like, I'm from Guatemala. I only went to school up through the fourth grade.
Yeah.
And I can't even read in Spanish. How am I supposed to learn English?
Wow.
So
that is terrible. That's a very sad story.
Right. So, but you've got people here from all over that come from tons of different backgrounds. I have no idea how much education they've gotten in their home country. You're also coming here as an immigrant. It's much harder working low-paying jobs, working around the clock nonstop. Mm-hmm. When you come, especially to these urban centers like Chicago, just look at it, said the situation might be different in South Dakota. I have the ability to why did my parents end up here? They knew someone that was already living in Chicago, and they helped you get jobs, and then mm-hmm. they kind of help you integrate into the community that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're able to learn some English and venture outside of that, but like typically when you're, that's how I've perceived it at least, typically when you're starting, you tend to like stick to your community and then branch out. Chicago is really a metropolitan city, so you do get to hear a lot of languages, Spanish in particular, but then also Serbian and Polish. But when you travel and you hear somebody speaking Serbian or Spanish, do you get excited? Are you pleased? Are you trying to get into, like, you know, you hear the language somewhere in the street and do you stop and say, oh, hi, do I speak the language? I speak the same language, where you're from and all that.
So, like, for me, one thing I've noticed now, especially like in the last, I'm going to say 5 years, is as much as I, like, myself call myself Mexican and say I'm Mexican, you know, people don't perceive me that way. People look at me and think I'm Middle Eastern or something. So when I do speak Spanish, some are shocked, like, oh, you do speak. Mm-hmm. And so when I see somebody, I automatically assume they speak Spanish. So I talk Spanish to them, because Yelena's even asked me, like, how do you know? I'm like, I don't know.
I guess. Educated guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Serbian?
I get excited about it, not necessarily on the street, but if like I'm in a restaurant and the table next to me is Serbian, or
watch out, I understand what you say.
Yeah, or you just kind of chat with them, and then like I randomly went to this nail salon that was on my way home, and then it just so happened that like my dad, I was like sitting waiting for the tech to come do my nails, and then my dad called me in the meantime, and the woman must have heard me speak Serbian. And then I hung up with my dad. I had no idea. Then she started speaking to me in Serbian, and then come to find out half the people that work there are Serbian. It's like, well, now that's incentive for me to, of all the nail salons in Chicago, I'm gonna go here.
So you have positive feelings
when you
realize that there are people of the same origin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for
you,
sure.
You tend to identify with them. Is that the same with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when you've already mentioned about talking to the members of your families, but if you just, nuclear family, when you're sitting for a meal, in your case, it will be Spanish because your mom says, speak Spanish. And here with you and your brother and your parents, how does it work?
We speak Serbian.
Serbian, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if my brother and I have a side conversation, it'll probably be in English. Or if he asks me, can you pass me the potatoes?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be in English.
Okay.
But if he asks my dad, it's going to be in Serbian.
Right.
Interesting how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same situation for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Between my siblings and I, we talk to each other. Unless there's like a word or two or a phrase that like, it's something we say in Spanish and it's always, then it's just,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it's important for you to maintain Spanish and Serbian?
Yeah.
How would you work it out once and if you have children? For instance, the two of you, two different backgrounds, how would you work it out?
Start them young
with both?
With both. Ideally, if we did have kids, I would like them to know English, Spanish, and Serbian.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
It's selfish on my part because I want them to know their Mexican culture, but it's also not selfish on my part because I want them to know their Serbian culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to favor one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to be both equally, and I think both have their own unique characteristics and add and complement. Both.
Would you be afraid that their English might suffer?
No, there's no way.
Okay. No, because I think
you go to school here. There's no way.
I think English will come. The other two won't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have some slightly, I feel the same way, but slightly differing attitudes about if we're going to just compare Serbian and and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Only because Spanish is so prevalent in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I learned Spanish in school, I think it's so much easier to do and you have so much more exposure to it. Whereas like you'd really have to work at the Serbian. Yeah. And you really have to have like the grandparents involved and really have the culture close by. Like, I think it would be impossible
to maintain it if you were in South Dakota or, you know what I mean, any of these places that don't have a lot of Serbian community.
So you feel there's a need for the children to grow up at least partially immersed into the communities where the language is spoken. A lot of people have told us that it's the grandparents' responsibility to teach their grandchildren the heritage language. Would you feel the same?
Yeah, I mean, because my
grandparents
didn't.
Responsibility is a heavy word.
Yeah, not responsibility. But it's definitely like an assisting role. I mean, my grandparents did it for me without even realizing it. Because one thing that I found so vital for my mastery of the Serbian language is spending time over there. Like, you really, not just immersing yourself in the culture here, but like going over there. It's different now. A lot of people do speak English in Serbia, but in 96 they didn't. You just had to go, and you weren't going to be able to play with any kids unless you talked to them in Serbian. So like, you got to figure it out. Like, my brother growing up, my Serbian was much better than his. And now that has changed because he goes there so often. He's got a much broader vocabulary than I do. And that is solely because he spends more time there.
When you already mentioned that you feel Mexican, how do you present yourself when somebody asks you where you're from and who are you? What would you say, both of you? American, Mexican, Serbian, Serbian, American, Mexican, American, American, Mexican, American, Serbian.
So I, when someone asks me, I always say Mexican, and I never throw in the American because of my immigration status. I did come in undocumented, and I don't know, some may say I hold a grudge towards it, but I consider myself just 100% Mexican.
Okay.
I don't like associate with like American at all.
How about you? Okay.
I've never said I was a Serbian American.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know. I've never considered myself American at all. I was surprised that that was even an option when you listed them as options.
Ah, so you're Serbian.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Yeah, okay. And in my friend's mind too. Like, that's my Serbian friend, Jelena.
Okay. Wow.
Though I was born here, but I think a lot of it has to do with how good my spoken Serbian is too, because it is like something that I know very well and can identify with. In terms of identity, this is one thing I noticed, like, from working at Walgreens. You know, you always wear a name tag, and I came to like appreciate that once I became like into my adult years, because I am just a white woman. Like, without knowing that my name was so strongly Serbian, you would have no idea. You know? So it was, and it's like a convert, it's like an outward identifier for who I am as a person. And like something that people could add, oh, that's a really unique name. Where is that from? Like, from Americans? Or another Serbian person could read it and be like, oh my God, I'm Serbian too. And like go from there, because I don't have an accent.
Yeah, I mean.
But I definitely seen an action where, like, I think you're telling me, like, The Office, where it's like this underground bar situation, whatever, and you texted somebody, and Yelena texted, hi, my name's Yelena, something, like, I'd like to get in. And the guy responds, like, Yelena? Like, are you Serbian? And, like, that's how the conversation started. Because of that, she was able to get in.
One last question. When, for instance, the United States and Mexico, or the United States and Serbia are playing a game, soccer, tennis, well, Djokovic and somebody else, tennis, or like the basketball thing right now, who do you vote to cheer for?
Serbia.
Never have I ever cheered on Team USA.
Oh,
Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never
Mexico.
Have I ever.
Yeah, never.
Mexico.
Yeah. What would it be with the Serbian and Mexican teams meeting?
Oh.
Serbia.
Serbia, of course.
We actually have a friend who was born here, but also his parents are from Mexico. He speaks very good Spanish. I think he told us if Mexico and the U.S. were playing, he would still
root for Team USA, which I thought was like,
never come.
It's okay.
Well, my cousin, my cousin in Colorado, he goes for USA over when it's USA Mexico.
Isn't that USA. So weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he was also born. He was born here. He was born in Chicago, but his his mom and dad immigrated.
Do they speak Spanish at home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you mind if we switch into Serbian just for a little bit?
No.
Okay. Jelena, možeš da nam opišeš kako si gledala proslave, recimo Božić ili rođendan ili
Slava.
Kako ste slavili kod mame i tate?
Ja mislim da isto kao što i vi slavite tamo. Za Božić se ide u crkvu, za Banje veče. A za rođendan, dobro, sve zavisi da li smo zvali, ako smo slavili sa porodicom, dođu tetka i teča i tako dalje. Onda se peva, ne peva se happy birthday, nego se peva danas nam je divan dan. I kao i tamo. I rođendan slava isto kao i tamo. Ide se u crkvu, jede se žito, pije se vino, kolač, posti se.
A posti se prezvane. A jede se postna hrana za slavu.
Da, Sveti Nikola.
Sveti Nikola, znam. A kad nisi kod kuće, jel obeležavaš neki od srpskih praznika? Tipa srpski Božić. Mada ti si ovde blizu,
ja ovde.
Sad nemaš razloga da ne budeš s mamom i tatom, ili da?
Da.
Jer si za praznike tu. Uglavnom si ti i Nikola kod mama i tata za praznike.
Da, za praznike. Ja mislim da bi to, da živim negde na nekom drugom mestu, ja bi ne bi mogla da dođem za slavu i za Božić. Onda bi možda obeležavala Božić, ali bi uvek došla za slavu.
Aha. Došla bi za slavu ovde, a Božić bi 7. sama u januar obeležavala.
Da.
Aha.
Ja mislim
da.
Da. Mi to radimo, da. Samo što ja sam pre dosta radila za Krsmes, zato što neko mora, ja da sam.
Ove apoteke su otvorene i za Božić.
Da.
A reci mi, kada pravite neke žurke, je li imate prijatelje i Meksikance, s kim se družite ovako, vas dvoje, kao par?
Pa sa svima.
Aha.
Sa svima. Najviše na Amerikanci i Meksikanci, kao par, a onda ja imam moje srpske drugarice koje viđam, mislim, druži se i on sa njima, ali više pojedinačno nazve i izađemo neče. Ali imam da.
I have a question. Imam pitanje, ali bih te pomolila posle da to njemu postojiš na španskom radi balansa. Mene interesuje odnos prema crkvi. Jesi išla negde u školu u crkvi da učiš jezik i mislim, vidim šta si rekla, šta si odgovorila kad sam te pitala za religiju, ali mislim, čisto u ovom praktičnom smislu, crkva je imala neku, bila neka gravitaciona tačka u tom učenju jezika.
Ja ne mogu da verujem da mi u ovome uopšte nismo razgovarali. I don't know da li je ovo bolje za engleski
deo i na srpskom.
Ok, zato što ovde ja sam igrala folklor koliko dugo?
Do kraja srednje.
Kada sam počela?
Kurs.
3, 4. 15
godina.
Ok. So, 15 godina igrala u folkloru. Uz folklor smo mi, bilo nam je obavezno da idemo u Sunday school. Na veronauku.
Bravo.
Bilo nam je obavezno da idemo na veronauku i morala sam svake nedelje da bi mogla da igram, da nastupam, do duše.
A to bi uslov?
Uslov za nastupanje, mora da ideš na... Više su vodili računa o tome kao na početku sezone, nego na kraju, ali jedno vreme mi je bilo lepo, da toj varonauci, sećam se lepo da smo učili o svadbama. I imali smo, to nam je bio zadatak, da učimo
onako religijusno, šta znači svaki deo svadbe i tradicije i šta znam, to je bilo jako lepo. I onda na kraju smo imali kao simulation, kao wedding simulation u crkvi. Imali smo i mladu, imali smo mladoženja, da, tu je bilo pop, kao da se sve to vidi i nauči. To je bilo lepo. Ali van toga, mi se nije mnogo svidala ta veronauka i sam prestala da idem.
Ali šta je to, šta ti možeš da kažeš sada, kakvu je ulogu crkva imala, to obrazovanje koje si tamo sticala u tvom znanju srpskog jezika?
Pa veronauka je bila na engleskom. So, ne mnogo što se tiče jezika, ali više što se tiče kultura.
La Iglesia.
Hola.
¿Ha jugado algún papel en tu historia, en la historia de tu infancia, de tu desarrollo de la competencia en español o de tu de la formación de tu identidad mexicana?
Pues es interesante porque pues en la cultura mexicana la Iglesia y la cultura van así mano en mano. Entonces, pero creyendo, mi mamá no era bien religiosa, pero sí quería que fuéramos a la iglesia los domingos, que, ¿cómo se dice?, tuvieron todos los pasos para ser un católico, el bautizo, la primera comunión y todo eso, pero a la misma vez me puso en programas que no eran tradicionales.
So, en la iglesia.
En la iglesia.
Había programas de español o de la tradición.
No, como por ejemplo.
O algo.
La primera, para la confirmación, creo que es por ley de la religión, tiene que ser 7 años que tome uno. Yo lo hice en un summer break. básicamente me pusieron en un paso, pero que me adelantaron. Entonces, yo viendo eso, miré como. Lo miré como algo que tenía que hacer para hacer a mi mamá
contenta.
Pero no es algo que yo creí en, no es algo que... Y además empecé a no creer. Y también cuando nos andaba creando, había un bus que nos venía, que recogía, nos llevaba a la iglesia, pero era iglesia de americanos, era bautizo. Entonces es cuando yo tenía 6, 7, 8 años, no entendía a Dios, no entendía lo que era la religión, nada más sé que pues yo hay un Dios y iba a la iglesia, pero no sabía que no eran de la misma religión.
Entonces en su comunidad aquí en mexicana, en Chicago, no existe unas iglesias que a las que acuden casi exclusivamente mexicanos o hispanos.
Sí,
¿no?
Hay varias. Sí,
sí, hay varias.
Hay demasiados, pero como, y mi mamá siempre que, cada vez que hablo con mi mamá, me dice, has ido a la iglesia, ve a la iglesia, y te digo, sí, ma, sí, sí, sí. Y me dice, no nomás me digas sí, ve.
Y había cada programas domingo para niños, como en la iglesia serbia ortodoxa, de los juegos, de los bailes tradicionales, o de la música, o de la religión, ¿había algo como Sunday School?
Sí, pues había para cuando lo que andabas estudiando para hacer su primera comunión, su confirmación y todo eso. Ajá. Entonces, pero también había como para nosotros, los parties eran los 15. Cuando alguien tenía su 15, sí era una fiesta, pero supuestamente era, ¿no?, su confirmación que hicieron y con los 15.
Ah, ok.
Entonces, ¿en español?
¿Y todo lo hacían en español o en inglés?
La iglesia en español.
Yo, y las fiestas y los bailes y la quinceañera.
Todo eso era mexicano, todo español, mexicano, pero a mí no me gustaba ir porque mi hermano y yo no nos asociábamos con se va a sonar horrible, con esa gente. Porque sí, nosotros sí somos mexicanos, pero no escuchábamos música así de banda. La música tradicional, así que la gente, todos, porque no era nosotros, no era, nosotros no somos de esa parte de México. básicamente.
Okay.
Y lo que representaron aquí era México, pero de otra
México
parte.
Es un país muy grande.
Sí, y para, para nosotros ese no era el México.
Sí, sí. Y one last question in English for both of you. Would you feel the need to take your kids to the churches and the communities and to have them learn the dances and the traditions of your countries of origin?
This is one thing that I was going to add. I'm glad that you bring this up. While I recognize that I am not a firm believer in the religious institution, in church, she's rolling her eyes, my mom, in the background. And I, while I recognize that I don't like these things and I don't believe in them or agree with them, I do realize that the Serbian culture is so somehow like uniquely intertwined with religion that you almost have to have it present. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of have to, like, what is this? Like, Slava is my favorite day of the year. It's my favorite holiday. And it's unfortunate that you also have to go to church and buy into that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still such an important part of, like, our family culture, the, you know, something that we do. I look forward to all of the Slavas that come up in the fall and winter time. So, like, it's unfortunate that it is a religious holiday, and you have to kind of do the church portion in order to also be a Serbian. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
But what does it mean in terms of bringing up your future?
They have to go, because that's the only way. Because that's the only way that they could get closer to the culture is to also get closer to the religion, and it sucks, but it's the truth.
To go to churches. Same for you, Eddie?
I would take the same approach my mom took with us, to where, like, I may not be religious myself, but yeah, I would have my kids go through the steps and the process, because it is a part of the culture. And like, even like now, like, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I do identify with like that part of the culture somewhat.
Okay. Yeah, makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. Yeah.
And especially for like holidays too. Like holidays, it's really hard to disassociate like the holiday with the religion, because it's very intertwined.